we're doing the Rambam on Pirkei Avot. We're up to the 5th chapter, the 13th Mishnah. And the 5th chapter kept talking about numbers. 10 generations from Adam to Noah, 10 generations from Noah to Avram, 7 traits of a golem, 7 traits of a wise man, 4 periods of time when plagues tend to expand, 4 attitudes among people, 4 types of students, and now we saw 4 types of people who give charity, and now we're up to the 13th Mishnah, 4 midot b'olchei levet ha-midrash. 3 types of people who go to yeshiva, who go to Beis Medrash, who go to the academy to learn. Holech ve'ino seh, you have one guy who goes but doesn't produce anything when he's there. So schar alicha v'yado, at least he has the wages for the journey. At least he traveled. Oseh ve'ino olech, you have someone else who... he lives there in the Beis Medrash. He doesn't have to make any journey to go learn. Some people come from Poland. Some people come from Switzerland. We have here people from all over the world, right? Tonight, we have most of the globe. We don't have anyone here from Australia, right? Other people are here in the dorm. They're living here. So they just walk down and they learn. So they don't have any wages for coming, but at least if they produce, they have the wages for what they produce. Holech ve'oseh, someone who has to travel. And then when he gets there, he produces. Chassid, that's chassid. Lo olech ve'loseh, someone who doesn't make the effort to go and doesn't produce either, that's a rasha, says the Mishnah. It's a wicked person. Okay, so says the Rambam. Amru, you think on such a short Mishnah, what's there to say? So the Rambam has a lot to say on this Mishnah. The Rambam says, our sages said, b'olchei levet ha-midrash, among those who go to the academy, רוצה לומר בהליכה לבית המדרש שיש בה 4 דעות. There are 4 attitudes when it comes to going to learn. וכן התמונן איך קרא את המרבה לסגל לעצמו את המעלות חסיד. Take note how the Tana, the author of our Mishnah, calls the one who puts in a great effort to elevate himself, he calls him a חסיד. והמתעצל מלסגלן לעצמן, the one who is completely lazy from acquiring good traits, he calls him a rasha, a wicked person. Ve'im yadat ha-ma'alot ha-egyoniyot ve'ma'alot ha-midotiyot. Ve'yadat ha-kol sug men, and if you knew the different types of elevated statures, be it the traits of person, the logical traits, be it the midot, the traits of the personality traits that a person can acquire. Ve'yadat ha-kol sug mehen, and you'd know each type. Ve'im tirtze tomar ha-idiyah ve'ma'aseh, if you want, you could say the knowledge and the action, v'yadata et ha-matzua b'dachei asiya, and you know that golden path. Remember the Rambam from the beginning of the work of Pirkei Avos, the Rambam is repeatedly espousing, we all have to follow that middle path, the golden path. Hanikrein tovot. The Rambam said from his introduction already, you want to know what's good in life? It's balance. The middle path is what's good. And if you add a drop to that middle path, that's what's called being pious. Not going to extremes. Adding a drop. Going a drop off the middle path. That's called being a chassid, says the Rambam. And if you really understand that going to either extreme, doing too much or too little, both are bad. Only that one extreme, it's more logical to call bad. You have one guy who doesn't give a penny to anyone. So that's more likely to call bad than a guy who wastes all his wealth. He might be stupid. He's also doing something that's wrong. So that's what the Rambam says. Both extremes are wrong, but one side of the two extremes is more likely, it's more logical to call it bad. The other extreme, you could say he's off, you could say he's sinning, you could say he's in error, but you wouldn't necessarily call him bad. You have a guy who's, again, take that example. Hamashal bezeh, for example, says the Rambam, shaprishut, that for a person to withhold himself, to abstain, tova muhletet lisafek, undoubtedly that's good. Ve'hatavtanut ra'a bechlet, and a person who's constantly seeking the worldly pleasures, that's undoubtedly bad. Ve'heder ha'hergesh behana'ot, and if a person goes to the extreme, he says, I don't even sense, if I have a good cup of coffee, I don't even taste it. I eat a good piece of cake, I don't even taste it. So if a person goes to the extreme, And a person could train himself to that extreme. Aval pi shezeh ra, even though you might say, hey, that extreme is also bad. That's not what God wants you to do in this world. Aval eina katav tanut. But you'll have to agree that between the two extremes, that extreme isn't as bad as the other extreme, where a person is spending his life chasing after the material pleasures. Elef shalom bo chatao masa bilti nachon. You could say he's sinned. You could say he's done an erroneous act. He's taken an erroneous path for life. Now, you have that middle path, which is what we would call abstinence. When a person says, I'm not going to enjoy every single pleasure I can in this world. I'm going to contain myself. I'm going to lead a life that's balanced. So, if you go a drop off the middle path in the direction of abstaining more, so that's what we call a chassid. What's fitting is that a person doesn't stay on the middle path when it comes to things that we know we have a tendency to veer off the path. And everyone knows that most people are not underweight. Maybe for girls it's the other way around in our day and age. But I still think most girls are not anorexic. I guess that depends on society, the society you're in. But in most places, most people have a tendency to eat too much, not too little. So if I'm going to have to choose which... When I'm in the middle path, I know that more likely I'm going to veer off it or drop to the left. So better I pull to the right a drop. Ukshetida kol einyanim ha'ilu, and when you understand all these things, says the Rambam, tida ki achoreg min ha'prishut me'at nikra chassid. You'll understand that he who veers off to that side to help protect himself from coming to error, that's what's called the chassid, kmo she'ekdamnu, as we said in our introduction. Someone who goes to the total extreme. He has no pleasures in this world. Nothing interests him. That's a sinner. That's not the right way to go. He's off. That's why the Torah tells us that when a person takes a vow, that he will not drink wine. He will abstain from the pleasure of anything that comes from grapes. The Torah calls him a sinner. As we explained in the fourth chapter of our introduction, says the Rambam, and from everything that we wrote in our introduction and we explained, you will know. Who, says the Rambam, who is called a boor? The Rambam explained already this chapter, the previous chapter, he went through an explanation. What is a boor? Umi aroi likare amaretz. We've already explained who is an amaretz. Umi aroi likare golem. And what type of person is called an unrefined person? Umi aroi likare chacham. Who's fit to be called a chacham and who's fit to be called a chassid and a rasha? Umi aroi likare chassid. Umi aroi likare rasha. Umi aroi likare chote. And who is called a sinner or one who is off? Hare elu sheva shemot neemarim al sheva sugei anashim. So now, we've reached the point, says the Rambam, that we have seven types of people that we've described. And each one, the Rambam explained, the boor, he's not productive in society at all. The amaretz, he's productive in society, at least he's settling the land, at least he's a productive individual, but he's not learning. A golem is a person whose traits are unrefined. A chacham is someone whose traits are refined. A chassid is someone whose traits are refined, and he goes a drop off the path. A rasha, so he described the rasha. That's a person who's lacking in his soul, and he goes to the extreme of following the worldly pleasures. And chote is someone who is off of the path, but in the direction, the opposite direction of the rasha. So the Rambam defined these seven terms. Upamim arkivin shemot lefi tchunot ha'adam. Sometimes the names go based on a person's traits. Let's say you have a person whose traits are lacking. The guy yells at people, the guy cheats people, the guy, his traits are lacking. So that's the type of person we'd call a rasha, כמו שביאנו, as we explained. And let's say his logic is super. He's very smart. But he uses that to do evil. That's what our sages call a cunning, wicked person. Meaning he's brilliant, but he's using it for wicked deeds. ואם היה רשע ומזיק לבני אדם, כלומר שמכלל מגעותם מן דעותיות דברים המזיקים לבני אדם, and if he's a wicked person who's harmful overtly to humanity, Kigon, for example, ha'azut v'achzariyut, someone who's brazen, someone who's cruel, v'chaytzebim, and similar traits, harei ze nikra rasha ra. That's when you find the person that's called a rasha ra. Which is very interesting because the Rambam here, I don't know what he's basing himself on. There's a Gemara that discusses a pasuk. The pasuk says, Imru tzadik kitov, kifrim halem yochelu. Say about the tzaddik, he's good, he will eat the fruit of his deeds. Oy l'rasha ra, woe to the wicked who is bad, kigmul yadav yaselo. He will be paid back in accordance to his actions, to his deeds. So the Gemara says, why does the pasuk call him a tzaddik and tov? A rasha and ra. So the Gemara says, rasha is someone who is bad in the mitzvos, between him and God, ben adam namakom. Ra is one who is evil to his fellow men. And the Rambam over here says that the word Rasha also encompasses a type of Rasha to his fellow men, which is what we think also. That's what our intuition would say. The Talmud seems to say differently, but I guess the Rambam learned that line in Talmud differently than I learned it. Okay, so I got to relearn it. But what the Rambam is telling us here is that there's a different types of Rishaim. One type of Rasha is Rasha Ra, a Rasha who is bad to humanity. Let's say a guy, he's got certain wise traits, but he's lacking on certain points. It's not that he's at the extreme of the rasha; he just hasn't perfected certain points of his traits. So then, on the one hand, he is a chacham, because he's wise. He's not like the rasha where he's gone to the opposite extreme. But on the other hand, he hasn't perfected his traits. So where's all that wisdom going to lead him? It's going to lead him to do things that are bad in the end of the day. Because if you've gained wisdom and you haven't refined your traits to use that wisdom correctly, so then even if he's not the rasha, which the Rambam described earlier, but he's still what Chazal call chacham le'ara, a person who is wise to do bad. This requires a lot of thought, what the Rambam is saying now. Meaning, very often we assume that if you've learned Torah, if you've advanced in Torah, if you're chacham, so then good is going to come of it. And Chazal repeatedly warned us that is not necessarily the case. And history repeatedly warns us that is not the case. We discussed last night that one of the greatest sages of Jewish history was Yeravam ben Nevat, who became the greatest sinner of Jewish history. See, here he was a huge Talmud Chacham, but he hadn't perfected his traits, and all that wisdom ended up serving his wrongdoings. So we have, he ended up being a Rasha Arum. He ended up being a Rasha, but he started off being a chacham, a very, very wise man who just hadn't perfected his traits. And then what happens is, says the Rambam, he is a chacham lehara. He is wise, but it is to the detriment of others at the end of the day, to the detriment of himself as well. Kmo shamar katuv b'mi sheze te'arum chachamim, heima chachamim, heima lehara uleitiv lo yadao. The verse says they're wise, but it only ends up hurting people and they don't know how to do good. And here I could say something that my father used to tell us from the time we were little kids. My father always used to say, it's not enough that you want to do good. It requires a certain wisdom to actually do what's good. You have to really learn how to be good. It's not enough just to want to be good. So you could have a very wise person. He's learned a lot, but he hasn't yet learned and perfected his traits. And then all of that serves the imperfection the more power one wields, the more detrimental his imperfections are. It's like you're living in yeshiva. So you have an annoying habit. Okay, your roommates sometimes comment, but they could live with it. You get married, suddenly, wait a second, you're driving me crazy with that. Didn't anyone ever tell you you're this or that or the other thing? Yeah, they did, but no one ever thought it was as terrible as you think it is. Well, no one ever lived with it as close up as our spouse does. So that's a small example. A person becomes prime minister, a person becomes king. The greater a person is, the more power one wields, the more his imperfections affect other people. כלומר שמעלותם העקרוניות הם משתמשים בהם במעשה הרע ולא בטובות. That a person has assets, he's attained wisdom, but he ends up using it for things that are bad, not for things that are good. אבל האדם שנקבצו בו כל המעלות בכללותם, but when you have a person who gathers all the good traits, be it הגיוניות, be it his logical traits, והמידותיות, be it his personality traits, עד שלא תמצא מעלה הגיונית ומידותית שאין בו, till you find him that he's completed on many, many fronts, on his different traits, he may זה מעט הוא שימצא. That says the Rambam is hard to come by. Go find someone like that. והפילוסופים אומרים כי מציאות אדם כזה רחוק וקשה, אלא שאין זה מן הנמנע. The philosopher says the Rambam, the philosophers say that to find someone like that is few and far between. It's very hard to find, but don't think it's impossible. They do exist. Vim yimatze hem korim oto adam eloki. The philosophers call him a godly man, if you find a man like that. V'chein kirato leshoneinu ish elokim. And in our language, in Hebrew, in the Tanakh, we call this man also ish elokim, man of God. V'ani umer she'adam she'ze tiuro yikare gam malach Hashem. And I say that Isha Elokim is what? Is a prophet. The Rambam is saying you want someone who his wisdom is there, his traits are there, he's perfected on all the different levels, he's perfected himself. That's what we call a prophet. That's what we call a man of God. The Rambam says, I say he's also referred to as Malach Hashem. The Navi says in Shoftim, Vayal Malach Hashem, the angel came from Bochim and said to the Jewish people, I did all these favors for you, you guys didn't live up to your end of the deal, and now you're suffering. So what does that mean? An angel appeared before all of the Jewish people. We have on tradition, it wasn't an angel, it was Pinchas, it was a Navi. The Navi came and said, the prophet came and said to the Jewish people this speech. So the prophet calls him Malach Hashem, a messenger from God. And we, our tradition says it was a prophet. So the Rambam says, yeah, why do we call him an angel from God? Because it's very unusual to find someone who has all these traits put together. And the philosophers say, the philosophers say, just like finding someone who has all the good traits is almost impossible, well, to find someone who has all the bad traits is also impossible. The philosophers say, you're never going to find someone who's completely bad. Everything about him is bad. And if you do find someone like that, even though that's very very distant, it's almost impossible that you'll find someone like that. But if you do, Hareim korim oto savua ve'efa, they name him, and he gives it a name of animals that devour other animals or type of poisonous snakes. He quotes two names that the philosophers give such type of person. Yeah. I don't know.
In that particular generation, that nobody is completely or very few completely righteous.
The Rambam says it's very hard to find someone like this. The Rambam quotes the philosophers and doesn't disagree. He just says we call that a prophet. I don't know what Rav Kook wrote. I don't know. V'chaytze b'zeh mishemot ha-mazikim. So. If you talk to the philosophers, they call a person like that, what do we call him today? We say he's an animal. Right? That's what we say today. So they also called him an animal. King Solomon in Proverbs also says, that's like a bear that lost its child. That's a bear that's gone mad. It's not only an animal, it's an animal that's gone mad. It's an animal that's in its most animalistic state. Because he's already mad with rage to the point where he's not even acting intelligently. So that's both the wickedness and the lack of intelligence. That's why King Solomon, in his metaphors, calls that type of person a bear that's lost its cub. So these five names that we just said, four of them are derogatory, v'him, and they are Rasha Arum, a cunning wicked person, Rasha Ra, a wicked person, Chacham Nara, a person who's smart to do evil. Vidob Shakul, and this fourth level of a person who lacks anything. His logic isn't with him. His traits aren't with him, like a bear that's lost its cubs. And then you have one that's to praise, and there's nothing better than that. That's what we call a man of God or an angel of God. The verse says that a person who has all the good traits is called an angel of Hashem. That's what the verse says. The lips of the Kohen protect our knowledge, and people seek Torah from him. Ki malach Hashem tzvakotu, for he is an angel of Hashem. So you see, the verse calls the teacher, the rabbi, an angel. And Chazal said on this verse that if you want to go learn Torah by someone, you first have to evaluate what type of human being he is. And here Chazal gave us a very interesting license. Ordinarily, we say, if he knows more than me, why should I judge him? And here Chazal said, no, there's an area where you have to judge. If you want to learn by someone, first you have to feel that he is a positive person. Based on this verse, that the verse calls the teacher an angel. That nichlalim ba kol ha'malot ha'igyoniyot, lefi shelo yeshalem ela acharea. And you have to know that the knowledge really encompasses the different attributes that a person, logical attributes a person can have, because you have to first have knowledge in order to attain those attributes. V'umrot Torah yivakshu mipiu, moral shleimuto b'malot ha'midotiyot, kmo shebi'anu b'perek ha'rvi'i. It says, the lips of the Kohen, they protect da'at, knowledge. The Kohen here is the teacher. Meaning the first thing is, you got to have logic. You got to have intellect. People will say the first thing is Torah. No, you got to have a logical basis. You got to have who to talk to, says the Rambam. First, you got to have logic. You have to have the logical tools. And only afterwards do we move on to the level of Torah and perfecting our traits, as he explained in the fourth chapter of the introduction. Shezeu matrat haTorah, which that's the purpose of the Torah. Ulefichach amar v'chol tivtei haShalom. That's why we say the paths of the Torah all lead to peace, because the paths of the Torah lead us to a balanced life. But you have to begin with logic. Very interesting what the Rambam is saying here. He's saying, look, the teacher is first described as one who has logic, and only afterwards one who has Torah. He says you have to have a certain basis, and then move on. And we already explained, says the Rambam, that peace is a reference to the good traits. And only after you have both the logical traits and the personality traits, then you have a person that we call an angel. We have a person that has encompassed these positive attributes. Now, why did the Rambam go off on this tangent in this Mishnah? Because the Rambam in this Mishnah learns that the Chassid is one who puts in the greatest effort to be a positive person. He actually goes the extra mile, and he learns when he gets there. And the Rasha is one who doesn't bother going and doesn't learn. But I guess the Rambam wanted to get this point across, because he could have said it on other Mishnayos too. So he said it on this Mishnah. I don't see why it had to be said here more than elsewhere. But okay, that's why I'm not the Rambam, right? Okay. Well, there are many other reasons too. Yeah.
So if we... there are many interpretations for what Maser Nishma means. But if we say that Maser Nishma means to do it, to understand afterwards, and if there is Mishpatim and Chukim, by doing them we can understand not only the concept, but the whole idea of a mitzvah, how can we say that logic precedes that?
He's talking about logical traits. He's talking about the... He's talking about malot hegyoniot. He's not talking about that I have to understand everything in the Torah. He's talking about there are basic things that logic dictates that a person has to have before he goes on to the perfecting of his personality. And that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about that everything has to make sense to me before I start listening to it. That's not what he means at all. You with me? Okay.